like an hour ago, and our company, but our team's first ever interactive training that I built with an instructional designer went live. It's kind of exciting.
This is that interactive-y thing that you were kind of showing us.
Different course that we ended up completely redoing.
But it was the same that same tool or whatever you're using, your
yep,
like PowerPoint on steroids sort of thing.
Storyline, yeah.
Storyline.
Yep, yeah, an e-learning authoring tool. So yeah, so people were like, "Oh, is there a video coming out for this training video?" I'm like, I responded, "I'll do you one better. How about an interactive training?" Bam. That isn't ready yet, but now it is.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. With everything that happened at work last week, it's good to, you know, have.
Yeah, things still kind of weird, up in the air-ish, sort of.
Yeah, they're, without saying actually what happened and just hinting and dancing around it, I was on a meeting today where someone fairly important was not there, and I didn't put it together. And then they're like, "Yeah, well, so-and-so's not with the company anymore as part of last week." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." And it's. My boss was prepared. We had nothing to worry about in our department, so. Hi, we are Buddies in Space. You are?
Yeah, I am S. Michael Smith, and you are?
M. Michael Carassi.
We're getting all serious talking about work there.
I know. Weird. Well, it's exciting to be on, like, not the back end of training development, you know, like to do something that's actually modern and hip, like interactive training.
Yeah.
And it's all professional voiceover. You know, I use this thing like a champ now. This is my little studio here.
Nice. So.
Sounds good. And we are drinking a fancy modern take on the Irish Buck.
The Irish Buck. Okay. I never heard of that.
Yeah, I hadn't either.
All right.
I had this Fever Tree ginger ale and I really wanted to.
I think
to
it's
it.
Pretty good. It makes the. It kind of eases you in to the whiskey flavors because they're like at the back of this. The yes. Ginger's at the front, mm-hmm. And then like kind of there's the ginger bite. A little sweetness, and then it's like, and here's your whiskey flavor.
So you're saying this is the mullet of cocktails?
I wasn't going to put it
ginger
that way.
In the front and whiskey in the back.
It eases you into it. It's not, you know, like when we were just having
just
the whiskey,
the 120 proof, or whatever it was.
It was potent.
Potent potables?
An intimidating flavor experience.
The recipe
this,
I found...
This is more accessible.
Yeah, and the recipe I found actually doesn't call for the cask strength. It calls for the regular. And I was going to water it down. I'm like, why bother? I mean, it's still going to be drinkable and I have more flavor this way. So,
yeah.
I mean, I like the whiskey flavor, so I like it.
I like it like this because it's like, it's not all, you know, just attacking me at once. It's like, okay, I can just get in on the back end there.
Yeah, this is like a very calm, choreographed one-on-one fight scene. Whereas what you're describing as being just drinking cask strength is like, you know, an orgy. I get it. Sometimes I want to walk into a room and I want to be at an orgy in my mouth. I mean, I think you know what I mean. But what you're saying is you like to walk down a long hallway that gradually gets darker and then come across a stranger in the back. I get it. It's fine. To each his own, Smike. I'm an orgy guy. You're a dark hallway and a stranger in the dark guy. I'm not going to judge.
Wow. How much did you have before I came here?
Not a bit. I think I'm a little starved for improv lately.
All right. Fair enough. So are we going to get really nerdy this time to balance out our serious political discussion last time?
Well,
because I'm ready, man.
Since
I'm
ready. Your nerdiness is going to be counteracted by my making fun of it,
That's fine.
I guess. Yeah, sure.
I'll just jump into it. Because, no, okay.
Hold on. I do want to say that.
You got something else?
Well, just speaking of the other podcast, I was very impressed. It's gotten a lot more attention than we've been getting.
Well, good. Thanks for listening to it, if you're one of the ones who did.
Yeah, if you listened, thank you. And
if you happen to know anybody in Hillary Clinton's campaign, please forward them a link to that article.
Yeah, and I mean, we covered a lot of the same stuff in the podcast, so send the whole package there. But yeah, I think the pointers were great. I assume that the article and the little kind of buzz it generated in our friend group helped the podcast. In terms of getting attention. So I thought that was cool. Very good article.
Thank you.
I enjoyed it. wasn't surprising, but
no, it was, yeah,
you gave me ample.
It's got some good links and a couple of nice videos. And
mm-hmm. No, that was a really great introduction. And you're right. I think if someone looked at the title, they think, oh, I know what this is. And it's like, no, not at all. Not in the least is what this is. But yeah, I just wanted to say it was nice to see that little bump. It's like that stranger friend of yours in the dark hallway, you know, kind of reaching under and fondling a bit.
Yes. Sure.
It's like, oh, thanks. A little
extra. Yeah, you weren't expecting it.
No.
It's nice. It's a surprise. Nice to get it.
It's a hand in the dark. You don't see that coming. And it's like, oh, thanks.
Why, thank you, sir. Okay. Can I be a nerd now?
All right, nerd away.
All right. So I got No Man's Sky.
Don't care.
It's like the most hyped game in ever.
Load of bullshit. Let me just get my cell phone out and start searching on the internet while you talk. Nope, don't let me stop you, please.
Hey, this is supposed to be a conversation.
Oh,
how are you going to make fun of me properly if you're looking at your phone?
Oh, really easily.
That's probably true. So, I got it for the PC.
Was this a splurge purchase? I'm still wrapping my mind around.
It's been definitely on my radar.
Okay.
I've had misgivings about it.
As you should have.
As I should have.
Yeah.
And the reviews have been mixed. A lot of the, you know, the initial reviews within like the first day
of the PC
were very popular. No, very positive. It came out on PC first, and then a couple of days later, it came out on PC.
You just said it came out for PC twice.
I'm sorry.
Came out on consoles.
PC, PS4, yes. PlayStation. It came out on PlayStation 4 first.
And it did not have the problems that it had on PC, which is why it got more positive reviews.
Okay.
I read enough about it.
All right. I believe you.
They got it up and running at 60 frames per second on PS4, like right off the bat. So it's just a smoother experience.
Yeah. And it will probably get smoother on PC as they release some.
It will get better.
I feel like I'm playing a beta. So I'll just put that out there. It's not. It does not feel like a completely finished game. The reviews have been very mixed. Now that we're like 3 or 4 days into the release,
mm-hmm.
It's a game that, you know, the first like 10 hours that you play, you're still just sort of figuring things out.
Is there literally no story?
There's sort of a story, but not much. It's very thin. So the big thing about this game, the hype machine has been plugging this idea of massively huge worlds and a massively huge universe.
The exact number that they have been touting is 18 quintillion planets.
Yeah, it's some bizarre.
It's absurd. It's so absurdly large, the human brain can't really comprehend it.
Yes. So these are procedurally generated,
mm.
which means they take some really giant seed number. I forget how big the numbers are. They've got tons and tons of these data, just a number that they plug into all the various computations that determine what the world is going to look like.
They have a suite of algorithms, distance mm-hmm. from the closest star, where different features on the land masses are facing. I was reading about it, and it's very impressive what they've done. Yeah,
and it takes procedural generation where I don't think it's ever been before.
And procedural generation hasn't been used in a way that I really thought it would have been. It's been used to like not have to have giant texture maps.
Mm-hmm.
So like produces them as you get closer to that kind of thing, which I think leads to pop-in and sometimes. But so this is like really like folding at home style procedural generation. This is massive in terms of its promise for what it can do.
And some odd things happened on the first day. Like on the very first day it was released, two people found like the same world, which they didn't, you know, it didn't seem like that would be something that would happen for like forever. It was like such a remote possibility, but then on launch day it happened.
Wow.
And they quickly discovered, to their disappointment, that there is no multiplayer interaction on it. They actually, the two users contacted each other and were able to figure out that they were both in the exact same spot at the same time. Because they worked on it. Like, oh, okay, we're going to go here and then we'll, you know, be at this thing. And I guess they found some sort of landmark, or they figured out how to get there.
It's a nerd.
They couldn't story. See any. They couldn't tell anything about the other person.
So it's the Griffin and Sabine books.
Sure.
I never had you read those.
No.
They're cool. Go on.
So anyway, there's no online interaction, multiplayer interaction as of yet.
As of yet.
It might be something that happens later. But
yeah, everything I read about it's like, well, they can basically do whatever they want with this game. So if you could think of it, they theoretically could build it into the game.
Yeah. So you're exploring these worlds, and you start on a world, and if you're lucky, you start on a nice, friendly world. And I did. There are creatures there. You're procedurally generated animals on your procedurally generated planet with procedurally generated flora. And
does everyone spawn on their own brand new planet?
I don't know. Huh. I think so, but... people have been finding each other, finding planets that other people have already found left and right. So that's been happening a lot.
Okay.
No, now that we're like spawning. Several days into it, that's a fairly common occurrence.
Well, to actually build the universe in a procedural generation machine, doesn't everyone just have to head in a different direction to really start filling it in? If everyone's heading in the same direction, the planets are being created as the first person in that charge is going, right?
Yeah, I guess.
So, like, in XYZ axis, you know...
I mean, the points exist in theory, but they're not...
But someone has to encounter those points for the algorithm to run. Mm-hmm. So, if you can head in any direction, but you happen to head in the direction someone else already headed, it's going to be a lot less new stuff until you pass them, is my point.
I guess. But new stuff is very relative, because everything's new when you get there.
Hmm.
It's not like they've... depleted the world.
They can't strip mine ahead of you because there's no multiplayer interaction.
Right. So anything that they would have, you know, if they found a mountain of gold, that same mountain of gold would be there when you get there, even if they mined the whole thing. So there's kind of a Minecraft sort of thing going on.
Hate it.
I have to say, though, the worlds look... amazing.
No, they don't, because you know my graphics card. They would look so much better if you had a 980 Ti. Go on.
They look pretty damn cool. The first place I was at was it was kind of, you know, it was a big planet, very kind of earthy. There were some interesting caves on it. There wasn't anything really trying to kill me there, so that was kind of cool. I could walk around with relative ease without having to do much recharging of my life support systems.
No radiation, no hostile.
No radiation. Forms. The next planet I went to was this very hot planet. And I think it was actually a moon of another planet, but it was very, very hot. And so, yeah, that I had to keep my suit, the thermal whatever thing from wearing out.
The thermal whatever thing.
So, yeah, there is some amount, and you're going to say hate it, of I have to make sure I've got enough stuff to recharge my suit and carry that stuff around.
I don't mind that.
Well, okay. There's a little bit of resource management where you always have to have a few things on hand.
Yeah, that's, RPGs have that.
It's not a big deal. It's really not. The landscape was just amazing. Like, there were these, like, giant natural bridge formations all over the planet. And you know, I got to the top of a good-sized hill-slash-mountainy thing. And then there, it was kind of a night sky. I could see the planet that this moon was orbiting up, and it was just taking up like half of the screen. It looked amazing. I mean, that's... and it's the things like that I think are really still the main point of this game, of just discovering these new and interesting looking worlds. And again, I understand that doesn't apply to or doesn't appeal to you or a lot of people, but it's very engaging, as I found. It's fun just to explore. I'm looking for new ships now.
And that's the thing you haven't really gotten into, and I think is actually the main reason you like the game is that it's a grind house.
It is. It's kind of debatable as to how much grind you're going to do and how far it's really going to take you.
Mm-hmm.
And after another 20 hours, I might be at a point where I've done everything and I'm just, you know, kind of going through the motions now.
You might be able to put it aside for 6 months and then come back and it's like a new game.
maybe
make enhancements.
So, and the reviews have been all over the place.
Yep.
And I totally get that. A lot of the reviews I've read, even the more positive ones, I haven't read any like super positive reviews from the critics.
Okay.
And most of them have a very similar theme. They'd be like, it was really cool. The worlds look amazing. After however many hours, you start seeing how this is all just kind of variations on, yep, on a theme.
I read that too.
And yeah, you do get it because there are these alien little outposts that show up on your radar. And like, oh, I'm going to go check this out. And it's cool for like the first few times, but then you're like, oh, it's that same one with, yep, different, with a couple of different things. Oh, it's the same thing again. Oh, it's this same outpost again.
Yes. That aspect of it got likened a lot to like the radial quest system in a lot of modern open world games.
Mm-hmm.
It's a random quest that is identical to the one I did 10 hours ago. It just happened to recycle at this point.
Yes. And there's some sort of overarching story or motivation, I guess,
to get to the center of
the universe.
Which is basically just Stalker.
Okay.
Did you ever read or see Stalker or play the game?
S-T-A-L-K-E-R.
Do you ever play Stalker, Shadow of Chernobyl?
No. I have it. I never played it, though.
I have that and the expansion. It was very broken. I actually stopped, mm-hmm, playing it in protest, but it's similar. It's like you have to get to the center of the Chernobyl thing.
Hmm. And there is a lot of broken stuff in this. It's not like ungodly broken. And you still, there are some moments where, as cool as everything looks, you see, oh, this base has spawned half in the mountain and half in the middle of just floating out in the sky. You know, like that. Okay, obviously that.
Alien technology. Yeah. What? They can do whatever they want. Aliens.
They get it right most of the time, but we know when you hit those, like this thing is just hovering. This is a no visible means of support and
space magic.
Yeah, space magic. No, it was a poorly positioned unit.
Algorithm.
Sure. So there's some of that. The interfaces are very clunky.
That happens all the time. That's easy to fix.
It's fixable. I think this was done more as a PS4 and then ported to PC.
That's what I was asking. Remember I said, is this a console game ported to PC or a PC game console? But this was definitely a console game ported to PC.
That's my understanding.
Because everything you heard about No Man's Sky up until a couple of days ago was PS4, PS4, PS4. Yes. Sony was touting this like the second coming of Christ.
And a lot of we had this discussion yesterday where I told you I was actually playing with like an Xbox controller.
Which weirded me out, but in thinking about it, I guess it probably makes sense.
I haven't played with a mouse and keyboard yet, but I have read about that, and people are saying it's really not much better. It is not, nothing in it is optimized for using a mouse and keyboard.
Well, everything I've read says combat's pretty shitty. So if combat's not good, then suddenly a mouse and keyboard becomes way less. I mean, that's usually the advantage.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I mean, if you can just kind of chill. I mean, you're playing on a media PC, so a controller's going to be a lot more attractive.
When you say media PC, this is a PC that I have connected to a TV.
I think that's what most people would think of media PC.
Okay, I don't know. I don't know if it's a term that other people use or we just use that.
The handful of people that listen to our podcast, I'm pretty sure know what a media PC is used for. I'm not going to guess. Bye. I mean, shame on me if I'm wrong.
So that's
hello, President Obama. Thanks for listening.
The other thing about these reviews, even when they're critical, like that the interfaces are lousy, the menus need a lot of reworking, there's no map, which seems completely insane.
On world, that's insane. Off world, I could kind of see it.
Yeah, it's just a series of waypoints, really.
Oh, so it's massive.
And it's difficult. You can't like select one waypoint or another. They're just sort of like kind of all floating. It's very awkward to get around.
Wow.
And that needs to be fixed. But
it was a small development team.
Yes. But even the reviews that are harshing on this, most of them say, but I still can't wait to get back and play it again. For all of its faults, it is tremendously engaging. I'm in the same boat. I'm like, yeah, it's a mess, but I want to get back in that world.
Sure.
I want to get in. I want to get a new ship. I want to upgrade. I want more cargo slots. And the cargo slot system is just insane, too. It's like, I can fit, like, a mountain full of iron in the same slot size that I can also fit, like, one charm item that I find on the ground. They both take up the same amount of space. It makes no sense, but, you know,
well, that's... Well, you have to leave room for the luck. I mean, a charm item is full of luck, and that takes up space, Mike. I mean, three dimensions.
So, yeah, you got this, like, little tiny thing that you can go sell for money, and it takes up the same space as, like, this pile of resource.
Maybe it's super dense.
Yeah, it's stupid. It's stupid. But and those are game mechanics. We kind of, we've seen similar stuff, and you sort of get used to it.
There is the things you can get away from in gaming, and I think that, okay, may I mm-hmm. my crack at it now? Not having played it, nor ever wanting to. So, I've read a lot about it. To start with that, I don't fault it for that. There are simply aspects of video gaming that any gamer will tell you just accept. There's just no way around it.
Yeah.
The invisible walls of, you know, linear games. Like, you know, there's things that just, it's part of the gaming experience. It's required to encapsulate it into an experience. Otherwise, it's just a sandbox.
Which this is.
Don't beat me to my insults, Mike.
I'm sorry.
So, something like that. It's funny because it just reminds me of Galaxy Truckers. It's like, well, you can fit this here or this here, and they don't really seem similar, but that's how it works. Everything you have described and everything I've read is an unfinished sandbox of a game. That sounds horrible to me. Now, that's my opinion, and I'm going to pontificate at length about it and why this game sounds awful.
Okay.
Because point, counterpoint. But, hey, I totally get why some people are going to love this, and it sounds cool. Part of the problem is the hype machine that surrounded this.
Yes.
I did not know anything about this game, but I've been fucking hearing how amazing No Man's Sky is. NMS. Oh my God, NMS is amazing. I couldn't fucking tell you what this was. But anyway, everyone was excited about it. And that's never a good, no joke, that is never a good sign. Because that means that everyone has an opinion about it when there's very little to know about it. And it's just too much excitement. Right? Nothing can live up to that. You know what I mean?
Yes. And can I just tag briefly onto that?
I suppose.
So if you look at Metacritic right now, mm-hmm. and you don't have to because I'll just tell you.
Okay.
The critics' average is like around 70%.
Not terrible.
The user average, three. 3 out of 10.
Oh, 30%.
Yeah, 30%.
Okay.
Yeah.
At least the 3%. Like,
well, okay, yeah.
Yeah, but they use two different metrics.
They do. They actually do, yeah.
Yeah, which is weird. That's funny. So my experience with researching this was purely to try to sell you my graphics card. But I did actually research it. So by the way, I'm selling a 980 Ti, pristine condition, $275. I'll sell it to you cheaper than I was going to sell it to Smike.
What?
Because fuck him. You heard it here first. So it's funny. The more positive the review, I said this last night, the more abhorrent the game sounded. Because everything they touted was grindy, explorative, lack of narrative. That was what they were hyping in the reviews.
Yes. Yes.
And it, like, the more they described, again, I'm talking for myself.
Okay.
The more they described, I was like, this sounds like Minecraft, but less possibilities, and it's just a giant sandbox, and it's a lot of exploration. I would never, ever in my life spend 10 minutes shooting foliage to get resources. That's insane. Or can you dig? Can you shoot into the ground?
I haven't tried it, but apparently you can.
Yeah, I know, because someone talked about... They were talking about that. They were basically strip mining for 10 minutes to get the resources that their radar picked up. Their scanner picked up. So...
Mostly you don't need to, because mostly the resources are just like a giant pillar of it on coming out of the ground.
Here you go! Bloop!
Yeah. Yes.
So I, as I've gotten older, have definitely... discovered that my definition of an enjoyable video game experience is narrowed to a very specific thing. Thankfully, it's common enough that a lot of small and big houses make games for that. So, you know, for every No Man's Sky, I have a Witcher 3, you know, and they're both massively popular. Mm-hmm. So obviously there's different camps, but this game sounds so horrendous to me. and I'm not even trying to be a jerk. Like, it sounds fucking awful. And the highlight of my research into this game came with that. It was that same review. This was an 8 out of 10, this review. Mm-hmm. So I'd say it's pretty high for this game. And the guy said...
It is higher than average.
And the guy was like, you know, for all its faults, I really enjoyed it, blah, blah, blah. But unfortunately, I'm getting to that point where I'm having more experiences in which I stop and say, why am I doing this?
Mm-hmm.
And that is the minute I put a game down. And I do not put games down. Because I research the hell out of games to make sure I'm not wasting my time. Because, you know, you have a kid, very little time to play video games. So I make sure I'm trying to play the right games. But yeah, the minute I start having that experience more than like once or twice, I have to tap out of a game. Because it breaks it for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I should never question the fun I'm having and being like, is this even fun? So that's my piece.
Yes. And in all fairness, I've only played for 2 days and not even like not all day sessions.
Nonstop.
I've got maybe at the most 10 hours in it. Mm-hmm. So I'm still in that, wow, this is all cool and new. Still seeing the seams in it.
Right.
But I still really want to get back in.
But the seams are not ruining the experience for you.
They're not ruining the experience.
It's still enjoyable.
And I want to see all these other worlds. You know, not all of them, obviously. But people are saying, yeah, the couple of, I had 3 or 4 worlds that were pretty much similar. And then I found like Crystal Land, which is just, would look crazy. And, you know, I want those. I want those, like, the crystal lands and the bizarre lava planets. You know, I want to find neat stuff.
There is a person who mapped all of the massive amount of underwater space in Fallout 4. There are people who genuinely enjoy exploring in video games. Mm-hmm. I'm not one of those people. I just don't have the time. So I get that there's definitely and combine it with the grinding aspect and the, you know, get stuff to get more stuff mentality mm-hmm. that you are a big fan of. And a lot of people are. Don't get me wrong. I'm not just picking on you. I get that this game scratches a lot of itches that way. So I totally get that. But what I'm really going to enjoy is in our next podcast, after 30 hours or whatever you play, to see. Because maybe the shine will still be there. Maybe they're going to patch it and really stay up with it because they're probably making a shitload of money. So they're going to hire more staff.
Yeah.
Or you're going to be like, all right, I'm done. Seeing it. Saw Crystal Planet. Saw Volcano Planet. Saw Dinosaur Planet. Been there, done that.
Don't know. But yeah, right now I'm loving it. I have no regrets about any of this.
No regrets.
No regrets. I'm even refreshing my other PC that has a graphics card that can run this, so I can play on the media PC or on
barely run.
It's a 570, it's fine.
480 is the minimum. You're barely in there.
Well, it's there.
That is interesting, just as an aside. This, like, and I guess it isn't surprising
if you know our personalities. It's all open GL. It's not any DirectX stuff.
So you could do Vulkan with it?
I don't know. I don't know what that means.
So there's a new API that's basically a competitor to DirectX that if you have a newer card, 980, 1080, something like that, you can run Vulkan. And it's with Radeon in particular, it's a 30% increase to performance. With over DirectX. And NVIDIA still gets a 10 to 20%. But yes, this thing called Vulkan, V-U-L-K-N. I haven't experimented yet, but when I get the 1080, since it'll be the best card on the market for a week.
Interesting.
I might play with it. Although, with the new monitor, I'm going to need to. That resolution would be ridiculous. Tell you, it's going to be a very impressive rig in a month. Physically impressive looking.
Yes. Meanwhile, I'm operating on, 2, 3, 4, 5 or more year old equipment. And it's fine.
Well, like this monitor's older, but it's 144 megahertz and a very low refresh rate. So I find that's really nice. The 27-inch IPS has been great. I just moved on to the next best thing in research and just realized what I wanted. And I thought I was just going to get a better version of this. And I thought, well, I could spend more money and get like Star Trek. But it's funny, just knowing our personalities, I feel like this does make sense. But like, I'm such a graphics whore.
Yes, you know? You are.
Now, it doesn't have to be a first-person shooter. I don't need like super fast pace. I just want it to look as immersive and realistic as possible. Mm-hmm. So I always have to have a fairly cutting-edge card. But then you're like, you know that you are literally one step, one generation above bottom of the rung for running this game.
Yeah.
And you're totally cool with that.
Because it still looks great to me.
Right. I mean, that's mind-blowing to me. So you don't have, because you're a tinkerer with your car and stuff. So like you have that like drive to get a little bit more out of it, but only with certain things.
I'm also stingy to it. I'm more stingy than you are certainly with this. I mean, I'm talking about money. I don't like
which is weird,
upgrading nearly as often as you do.
if you can see a notable improvement, I don't know, it seems worth it.
It seems like such diminishing returns, though. You're laughing.
Well, because I have a generational rule. If it's except for what I'm doing next month, because there's a requirement for me to be able to do what I have to do, the graphics card increase. It's just unfortunate. It's where technology is right now. You would be, like, the jump we're talking about for you would be, like, 3.5 generations up. So do you draw a line? You don't have a rule, right? Do you? Like, after 3 generations, I must upgrade?
No, I don't have any rule okay. like that. I guess my rule is, if I need to upgrade, I will.
To run it at low spec.
To run it, it's not, I'm not running it on low. I'm running it on medium, like, normal, medium, whatever.
Okay. Because the PS4 is on 3-4 generation old hardware now.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the way the console, you know, they commit to a generation of graphics cards, like, years in advance. Yeah, no, I do enjoy giving you a hard time about it, but no, it is genuinely interesting to me. It's just funny, you can take any hobbyist pursuit and then draw conclusions about, like, people. And personalities based on how they approach that. You know what I mean? Like, cars, graphics cards, drinking, what have you. It's like, there's a lot of, and I bet it. You can start to generalize across hobbies for a person and be like, well, the way you approach this is similar to how you approach this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's not. I don't know.
Well, I think generalizing anything is dangerous, but.
Well, I guess I'm more picky about car stuff than you are.
Oh, yeah. I mean, really, we could probably pretty cleanly flip-flop in that regard.
Yeah.
But with cars, you are not stingy at all.
I drive
a 10-year-old Jetta. You drive a 1-year-old BMW.
Okay. I wasn't going to mention that on the air, but there you go.
Oh, now I doxed you. Deal with it. I had to look that up. I'm like, I think I know what that means.
Was it what you thought it meant?
Yeah.
All right. In other completely random news.
Yeah.
Or did you want to wrap this up with something?
Yeah.
Do you want to put a bow around this?
I'll put a little bow on it, like Kiki's right. Delivery service. It's interesting. I'm glad you like it. It's not for me. It's for a lot of people, and it's not for a lot of people.
I agree. We agree on this. That. Yes.
But I have a real issue with releasing beta software.
Yeah, and it really feels like that. I mean, it's certainly playable.
Mm-hmm.
I did have some issues getting it to run to begin with.
That's beta level.
Yeah.
I'm not saying alpha, but it's beta.
It wasn't terrible. It was solved mostly just by me upgrading my drivers.
Yeah, I heard.
But the message that was giving me was like invalid license or something.
That's weird.
Yeah, when you try to start, and you're like, I just bought this. The license better be fucking right. I just dropped $60 on this.
Oh, no, the license is procedurally generated, and someone already discovered it. So sorry, man.
That crossed my mind, but but no, about 15 minutes on Reddit, and I had a solution. So thanks, Reddit.
Thanks, Reddit. Okay, so that's the bow. So random other things.
Right, so doxing, not technically doxing, but the Daily Beast.
Mm-hmm.
You familiar with this? Yes. It's a online public. Do they do an actual? I think it's just online, isn't it?
I've only ever seen it online.
Okay, so it's a news source, I guess. They have reporters. They have people that write things, and they put them on the news website. Apparently, they did. They've done some really shitty things, and they did a really really shitty thing at the Olympics this year.
Really, I haven't heard about this.
So one of their, I'm doing air quotes, reporters.
Yeah.
Yes.
Without any internet news source, it's always like, do you call him a reporter? Yeah. Really? Or do you call him a blogger?
This guy, we can just call him an asshole.
Okay. That's fine.
I forget his name. Go look it up if you care.
Asshole McAsshole or something?
Yes. So he was doing a story on sex at the Olympic Village.
Okay.
And I guess he went there or something.
Okay.
And
this is kind of a popular subject. Every time there's an Olympics, you hear about.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I understand
relationships
that
in Olympic Village.
That's fine. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, there's some relatively newsworthy or, you know, interesting stuff there for some people.
For some people.
Yeah, for some people.
For people who read the Daily Beast.
But what this guy did was, he used online dating apps
okay
to see how many hits he would get. And he wasn't getting too many hits on Tinder.
Okay.
So he switched to Grindr.
Oh, okay.
And this is a guy who's not gay,
mm-hmm.
who is you know, married, whatever. He's not gay. But he sets up a profile on Grindr to mm-hmm. see who he can get.
Right.
And then he writes about that in an article, and they publish it online.
Like, with specific athletes' names and stuff?
They didn't give names, but okay. he was listing enough information...
That you could intuit.
That you could very easily say, like, what country they're from.
And sport?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I didn't read the article, but lots of people were up in arms about this. He's basically outing
right.
these Olympic athletes, several of whom are from countries where this is a really big deal,
right.
and they could be put in prison.
Or worse.
So, I'm saying Daily Beast is shit. That's, yeah. So, don't go to the Daily Beast anymore, because they're awful.
Yeah, they're not really a source of news for me, but yeah. They always seem a little trashy. That's shitty, though.
It's really stupid.
What a...
And just for no other reason than to get yourself some clicks and...
Yeah, exactly.
Pretend to be, like...
I'm a journalist.
Cool and interesting, and hey, I'm a journalist. You're literally putting people's lives in danger.
You're trolling in the worst possible way.
Yes.
As a journalist. Like, yeah. Journalism in general, what a diminishing pool that is. A sad and diminishing pool. It's been very clear. This presidential election is just... The people who can be subjective and and trustworthy and erudite... You know, and write with poise and grace. Like, it's just a lost art. It's painful. It's really painful to read. And I try, you know, I read Fox News sometimes. I'm like, all right, I'm going to suffer through this for a bit just to get this perspective. And I usually can't get through it all.
Mm.
But it's still, everything's got a lens now. It's a bad time to want unbiased news.
It is. Even the Atlantic, which has been one of my favorites for a long time.
Your shining beacon of hope.
Yes. It's getting more and more clickbaity.
Mm-hmm.
The articles are becoming less and less
article
newsy and more like, hey, you won't believe this sort of story.
Your jaw will drop.
Yes. Here's what cookie manufacturers don't want you to know or something, you know. Stupid things, but they're doing it, and I think this is just they need to do this to survive. They have to get those clicks.
Mm-hmm.
They gotta drive traffic.
Not every major publication can get bought by Google.
Yes,
or Amazon.
Yes, and in-depth nuanced analysis of political events isn't really that exciting for most people.
No, you want a lens. Everyone wants an angle. They want to come... They not only do they want an angle, they want their angle. I mean, let's really call it what it is, right? So if your clickbaity headline is appealing to a certain set of readership, you're doing well. You know? I don't know where it's all headed. Sometimes I think about that. Like, where is this going? Do we get to a point where news is just entirely subjective and there is no universal truth anymore? It's just... Well, I'll just pick my state of being and my state of mind, and I will find news that.
Are we there already? I mean,
not
you can
yet.
Do that. You can totally. You do
can.
That.
No, you can. But
you can
I
be
feel
like, I'm Breitbart. There, God, done. Breitbart. That's it. That's my news.
Cocksuckers.
Or I'm Huffington Post, and you know, screw everything else. Or Raw Story.
I love Huffington Post. How they have the editor's disclaimer at the end of every article. What is it? Donald Trump is a serial liar and regularly incites political violence. I just, and they have links to articles like showing all of that. It's
is
just
that Huffington Post? Somebody's doing that.
I'm pretty sure it's Huffington Post. Yeah, they really hate Trump.
Which is understandable.
Which is understandable. But it's just, no, I feel like if I put enough effort into it, I can still, like, you can see, go to the times and they're getting more of a bent, but you can feel like, all right, I'm almost getting legitimate journalism here. Almost.
Not yeah, CNN, maybe. Every freaking article you click for CNN is like a video link now. And I hate videos. That.
I just want to read an article.
I know, right? I hate that, like, the autoplay videos especially. Yeah. And I've disabled that, and I've disabled the automatic plugins my browser from Chrome.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them still manage to find a way to do it. And it's infuriating. I don't know what the fuck they're doing.
We are going to make you watch a video.
If it kills you.
Did you see the new Rogue One trailer?
Maybe. I don't know.
It aired on the Olympics a couple nights ago.
I might have. I think so.
It's got like...
It's got more a little more Donnie Yen in it.
Yes.
So like something I'm not afraid of anything.
Yeah, because I trust in the Force. It's got her running at the TIE Fighter. Like she's running at a catwalk and the TIE Fighter comes up right in front of her.
Yeah.
It's cool because you're seeing ships with lit fully because you always see them in outer space.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like nice to see all the detail. I'm like, oh, this is... For some reason, they're more imposing to me when they're in suborbit. Like when she's running at the... And then the guy who protects Donnie Yen, or whatever his name is, he like shoots a rocket launcher at the AT-AT. Donnie Yen. He shoots a rocket launcher at the AT-AT, which is like, okay, a dude on foot's fighting an AT-CT. It's the new AT. It's the new version of it. It's a.
Would it be the old version though?
No, it's one that you've never. Yeah, it would be an old one, but it's one we've never seen before. So there's the U-wing, which is new, and then there's the AT-CT, which is like armored cargo transport or something.
Okay.
I don't know. I've been reading.
So technically a predecessor of the AT-AT.
Correct. Yeah. Erica is, against her will, being forced to learn the minutiae of the old Star Wars movies. It was hilarious. So I was on the phone with my mom yesterday, and Simon was like, I need to watch Star Wars right now. I really want to watch Luke and Darth Vader, you know, lightsaber fight. And we're like,
okay. He's only seen this, what, 100 times now, right?
Give or take. So we popped in Empire, and he was watching that, the big fight scene in Cloud City at the end. And he kept saying, well, is Darth Vader coming back? I want Darth Vader. And Erica doesn't know the sequence of events in the movie well enough to just, like me, like, just, okay, be like, I need to skip 3 chapters, and now I know it. You know, I've done it for him, and I know the movie so well. So, like, she got to the point where she was, like, screeching. She, like, just walked away. She's like, Mike, I know you're on the phone, but I need you to, I can't find the thing that he wants. And it got to the point where Luke loses his lightsaber.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he understands, and that's fine.
And his hand.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't know that. Can't tell. And he was like, where is Luke's lightsaber? And he was driving Erica insane. She's like, he lost it. And he's like, where'd it go? Where is Luke's? And he just kept saying it over and over again. So I had to come in and, like, slow it down to slow-mo to the point where he falls out the bottom of Cloud City and you see it fall. You can see, you really can't see what it is, but it's basically the hand clutching the lightsaber.
Mm-hmm.
You could see it fall into the planet. He like still wasn't quite satisfied with that. He's like, well, now Luke doesn't have a lightsaber. So I was like, hold on. So we went to Return of the Jedi to the sail barge scene. I was like, look, he built a new one. And then we had to let him watch the scene where R2 shoots it up in the air. And I was like, look, it's green now. And I think the light bulb finally clicked as to why he has the blue and the green lightsabers.
Because mm-hmm.
Simon has, you know, one of each. But... it was just really funny. I told Erica. So the blue one
was
like,
just gone.
It's just, well, until the new movie.
But and is that back. The blue one or the green one then? I don't know.
What?
In
Force Awakens?
Yeah.
So let me tell you a little story.
Okay.
In an earlier draft of Force Awakens, the first scene you saw was Luke's hand clutching the lightsaber floating in space and someone finding it.
Floating in space?
Doesn't make any sense.
No.
Yeah, because it would have been
doesn't
on the planet.
Doesn't make any sense.
I'm just telling you. So that lightsaber, by the way, is a really fucked up history. So Anakin builds it and then kills all of the younglings with it.
The blue one.
The blue one.
Okay.
And then Obi-Wan ends up with it and just sits on it for like, you know, 18 years or whatever. And then gives it to Luke. And then Luke gets his fucking hand chopped off and loses it. I'm best.
So this is like a lightsaber with some bad mojo.
This is a cursed fucking lightsaber. And then, somehow, Maz Kanata ends up with it, and then it ends up with Rey. And
so it's, but it's still the blue one we're talking about.
It's still Luke's original, well, it's still Anakin's original lightsaber.
Okay.
And both Anakin and Luke have built new lightsabers since then. So right. You start with the blue one, and then something fucking awful happens with it, and then you move on.
So, to recap this...
Yeah, recap
at the end of Force Awakens...
Yes.
Rey is bringing this lightsaber that he hasn't seen since he got his hand chopped off by his dad.
Yep.
And she's like, saying, here you go.
Motherfucker, take this thing.
He's like, oh, fuck that thing? Oh, yeah. My God.
So the inner... So what they need to do...
I'd never see that piece of shit again.
This would be a great, like YouTube sketch we could do. We need to do the inner monologue of Luke. It just cuts to her doing it, and he's like, oh, fuck no. Take that shit away. Get that shit away from me. That fucking... Fuck that lightsaber. That is nothing but trouble. Man... It isn't even ergonomic. I was going to cut my own hand off. It didn't even fucking fit right in my hand. Stupid Anakin. The fuck do you know about making lightsabers? A kid.
Wow.
By the way, holding the lightsaber toys, they physically do not make sense. Like, I've done stage combat. I understand how to hold, a sword.
Yeah, but the grip's not long enough to really hold it with two hands.
But that's the point. They put the button in the dead center. So with the lightsaber, all the lightsabers are the same, even though they're all different shapes. So you have to hold it like in the very bottom tip or right up against the blade. So these are replica toys, air quotes, of mm-hmm. something that doesn't really exist. What the no one's using them two-handedly all the time. So how are they not cutting off fingertips? That's what I don't understand. Like, when my kid's swinging a lightsaber at me, I got to fucking hold that. I'm like, oh, I just lost my hand. Okay. Because my own clumsy, I don't know. All I'm saying is laser swords are not a good idea.
never really have been.
Did you know that there's a fourth, Erica was just on, there's a fourth Sharknado and Tara Reid has a lightsaber hand now?
Is that it? I heard that she got some sort of special powers or something.
I'm sure.
And she's doing more than just actually standing there in the more recent ones.
Oh, they must have taken her off of some of her meds.
I guess. I don't know.
I thought that's all she could do. I'm convinced if the water rose above her head, she wouldn't even float. She just had to sink. I mean, there's a level of stupidity at which all of your survival instincts fail. I'm pretty sure Tara Reid's close to it.
Oh, man, we actually got talking about Force Awakens again.
Oh, I still haven't read Hulk. I'll read that tonight.
Okay.
I have to read that review you told me about. Hulk Crit?
Film Crit Hulk.
Film Crit Hulk.
Yeah. I think we mentioned this on here before. I've mentioned
it. You've mentioned it a long time ago.
Okay. He's a film critic. Mm-hmm. He's apparently somebody who's really well connected, but he maintains anonymity. Anonymity.
Okay.
Anonymity. Yeah. That's anonymity. Right. Anonymity. He maintains his online anonymity by going under the pseudonym Film Crit Hulk.
It's Ebert. He's not even dead.
Nah, still going. I don't know. Where he writes everything in all caps as if he were the Hulk. And he, throws in a couple of Hulkisms, but it's mostly well written, very, very well written, very, very heady analysis of.
Well, I mean, the thing is, if you have a funny lens, as it were, to say intelligent stuff through, it really only makes it better.
Yeah,
it
does get a little, there's an initial like I don't want to read everything in all caps, but there we go.
Do you feel like you're being shouted at?
Initially, but you sort of get used to it.
But isn't it a funny thing? Like, we've reached that point in the culture of texting. Where it's like, if it's all caps, you are hearing this, these words, these 160 characters as shouting at you.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I shouted at someone a text and they actually texted me back, are you yelling at me? And I'm like, yes. Yes, I am.
So, yeah, he I think it was about a month ago when he finally wrote something about Force Awakens. It's a good read. It's really long, but it makes a lot of interesting points about J.J. Abrams.
And he and I had similar...
Yeah, very similar thoughts. Loves the cast. I thought John Boyega was just amazing.
I love Finn. I love Finn for so many reasons.
Yeah, but what is he as a... What's his... what kind of a person is he really?
I don't know.
Well, nobody knows. That's it. No, that's the right answer.
That's not true because I read.
Okay, but based on the movie, you're like, he's really cool, but I don't know what kind of a person he really is.
Based on the movie, he's a serial liar who is too bumbling to be threatening. I mean, really, if you look at it.
Yes. But the point being that they did a really shitty job of defining him as a character,
right?
And more just to like, here's a series of attributes.
Well, broad strokes.
Yeah,
they did broad stroke character.
Not even that, but like he's kind of bumbling,
yes.
Kind of cowardly.
Yes. But there's motivation there. The cowardly thing I thought was the one defining attribute of him.
The motivation is pretty weak.
Well, again, source material. I am convinced, it became very clear to me that Disney was assuming commitment to the expanded, not universe, but just the extra content. I don't think you can take Force Awakens on its own.
And that's a big problem. I think that's a huge problem.
Huge problem. Because what Disney is forgetting is all of the probably hundreds, if not 100 books, and thousands of, assumingly, hundreds and hundreds of comics. All of this extra shit that made up the expanding universe came long after the movies existed.
Yeah.
There was no supplemental material. There weren't even any fucking action figures that came out with the damn movie, because they didn't used to do it that way back then. They gave you an empty box and said, "We owe you." No, seriously, did you know that?
No.
The original, so back when Star Wars, so everyone says, oh, Star Wars is what launched the action figure thing. That didn't happen right away.
Mm-hmm.
So at launch, no one thought Star Wars was going to be so big, so it took off and everyone was clamoring for toys, and Hasbro or Kenner, I'm trying to look at the...
I think it's Kenner.
It might not have been Kenner at the time, it might have been Hasbro. Okay, let's say Kenner. They said, oh shit, we weren't ready. We were because everyone would wait and see how the movie did first.
Mm-hmm.
So what they did was they called it the early bird special. So you would buy what was an empty box. And it was essentially an IOU saying, as soon as we can humanly get these things made, we will send them to you. And I read an interesting article that said that one of the reasons for the success of the Star Wars figures was the 3.75-inch size. So
if you look at the average, they were smaller.
So you remember the old G.I. Joes?
Yeah, they're like, big. They're
very like big.
Stupid big.
How big would a vehicle have to be to put them in it?
Ridiculous.
How expensive would that be?
A lot.
So what Kenner did for the first time is they said, well, since Star Wars is really a lot about vehicles, mm-hmm. we need to find a size of action figure that can be discernible as a specific character, but be small enough to then be put in a somewhat proper ratio sized vehicle.
That's really interesting. I hadn't heard that. I remember that was the thing, because they could all fit in at least one part of the vehicle.
And that's the thing, is it was like the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon's sized for a couple of figures, and the rest of it really isn't. But because really it would have to be very big. The Death Star.
Oh, yeah. There were like three floors of the Death Star.
Yeah, out of like 3,000.
And like one gun with two guys that could stand next to it.
They had those weird slow helmets. It's all you needed. They focused on the controls. Yeah, but it's so weird that people can spend so much time intellectualizing and really defining, like, this is what made the toys so popular. But, that was the first time that they were caught with their pants down. And then ever since then, it's been, okay, the toys have to come out with the movie and we have to.
And then Boba Fett was, like, such a huge deal. He was, like, the first crazy popular figure because you had to, like, send away from him, right?
Oh, that.
It was something where you, like, had to like get so many different
box tops or not barcodes.
Yeah, I think it was like codes from the other proof of purchase from other figures.
Is that because they revealed him in the Christmas special and not in the
movie? Yeah, he was in the Christmas special, so he wasn't like a regular thing.
So they wouldn't have had a figure ready until Empire came out. So.
Yeah, so they're like, hey, send in your collect 20 of these and send them in, and we'll send you a Boba Fett.
That's funny. I think he only has one line. I have to rewatch the sail barge scene, but he doesn't speak in his added scene with Jabba in A New Hope.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure the only line he has in any of the movies is in Empire when he says, with his Australian accent, "Put Captain Solo in the cargo hold of my ship," or whatever, at the end of Empire, right before he flies off. And it occurred to me, it was funny because I was thinking they had to cast the guy who played Jango Fett. And they had to cast the voice, who's not the same guy, the voice actor for the Clone Wars. They had to cast these guys with who could do Australian accents because of one line in a movie that came out in 1981. Like, it just hit me yesterday, actually, when I was like, that's, wow. That one line that happened to cast a dude, it might not have been the dude in the costume. Could have just been a fucking ADR of some random dude.
Yeah, probably was.
Like, dictated multiple casting decisions and the experience of, because you know the one actor in Clone Wars voices like 300 characters because every episode is different clones,
right?
And it's always the same voice. So what a sweet gig that would have been for that guy. I can't do Australian, so I'm not going to try. But it's like, wait, so you want me to play how many voices? I mean, one, but how many times? That's, you're going to pay me for each of those, right?
Other nude nerd stuff.
Other nude nerd?
No, not
naked nude nerds?
Nerd. Well, okay, if you want to get...
We need to see if that website exists. Go ahead.
Some more nerd stuff.
Yes.
Suicide Squad getting terrible reviews.
Still want to see it.
Popular fan reactions. So that's.
But is that the diehard faithful?
I don't know. I think you're going to find out. You're going to find out for your own. Yeah, because you want to see it. I do want to see it. I don't need to see it in the theater.
No, we're going to wait until. The only thing I want to see in theaters anytime soon, other than Rogue One, which is a ways off, is Kubo. I really want to see Kubo and the Two Strings.
Yes. Yeah, that looks great. I have to admit, I do want to see Sausage Party.
Yeah, Naked Nerd exists, and it is definitely a porn site.
Boy, that's like an old...
Oh, this is like an old GeoCities
version. Yeah, GeoCities, that's what I was thinking. Wow.
You know, I might just screen grab this, and... oh, it blocked two pop-ups. Not just once, Mike. Two.
Nice.
Sexy MILF teach girls. Somebody sexy. Boobs.
Boobs? They have boobs? Yep. Oh, my God.
MILF Next Door.
Naked Nerd. Well, there's your free advertising, Naked Nerd. Hope you enjoy it.
Real Housewives. It doesn't have to be porn. It's just women who are in houses and are wives.
All right. So anyway, Suicide Squad getting horrible reviews because apparently the plot is terrible. The characters are shallow. And it's been described as... like a 2-hour long music video with lots of fighting and explosions.
Which sounds like something my wife would hate. Yeah, she's still really...
Yeah, I know. That's weird.
But everyone loves Margot Robbie, right?
Yeah, and Will Smith. Now everybody's been saying, well, yeah, Will Smith is really good in this. But he's, you know, he's just being Will Smith, pretty much.
But I'm convinced... So Will Smith would only do movies... So he turned down Django Unchained because he felt that Christoph Waltz's character was bigger than... Django's character in the movie. Like, he will only do movies where he's the main character. But we're seeing something with Suicide Squad that's interesting. He did a team movie.
Yeah, but I think he's still kind of like the main hero-ish character.
That's the thing, yes. Yeah. But he also did the Comic-Con panel, which is crazy. I don't know what they did to strong-arm into that. It's Will Smith doing a panel. Like, when do you hear that happening?
I don't know.
I'm sure he didn't do it for Earth AD or fucking whatever it was, which I didn't see.
Didn't see it either. Don't ever.
But yes, I did. When I was reading the description, I know very little at this point about the DC universe. I used to know a lot more as a kid, but I knew that his character had a son and was like a noble villain. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, of course Will Smith is playing this character.
Right, right.
He's the least bad one out of all of them.
Oh, and I think this came out like maybe a month ago. The animated... version of the Killing Joke.
Did Mark Hamill did Joker in that, right?
He did.
You voiced him?
He did. And this was, is it Alan Miller, right, I think?
Frank Miller? Or Alan Frank Moore?
Alan Moore. Maybe it's Alan Moore. I get these guys mixed up sometimes.
I'll look it up while you talk.
I'm going to say Moore. I'm going to go with Alan Moore.
I mean, given the subject matter, probably Moore.
So this came out in the 80s, A Killing Joke. It was
It was part of that rebranding heroes as sociopaths kind of thing.
Yes. I think it was after Miller's Dark Knight Returns, which was like the big...
That started the hero thing as... That
started this. Probably after Watchmen.
Alan Moore.
Yeah. I think it was right around the time there was another one called Batman Year One, which wasn't quite as bad.
Right. And that was Miller.
Year One?
Yeah, wasn't it?
Probably.
I have it somewhere. Oh,
but these all came out in the 80s, around the same sort of time. Killing Joke got really mixed reception back then. And the main reason for this is the treatment of Barbara Gordon, right?
Her name? Barbara Gordon, Batgirl.
Batgirl, who in the original comic as well as in the... animated version of it that just came out is shot through the spine, mm-hmm. not killed, but crippled and
paralyzed,
imply that she is then raped by the Joker and his team of villains. And then they send the pictures and videos of all this to Commissioner Gordon.
Mm. He's trying
to make Gordon crazy.
Yeah.
By way of abusing his daughter.
Yeah. By the way, I was thinking of A Death in the Family.
Okay.
When he kills Robin.
Oh, right.
One I was thinking of.
Yeah. So, anyway, this got a lot of negative reception when it first came out because of the treatment of this female character, who they presented as basically just, we're going to abuse the hell out of this character to advance the story. And that's something that frankly happens in comics a lot. The female character is just sort of there, and bad things happen to her in the service of advancing the character or advancing the story or character of the other main male characters in the story.
Can I? I'm totally listening to you.
Sure.
What's funny is
you're not looking at me,
right? I'm looking at you with my ear.
All right.
I'm just reading through the at the time reception on Wikipedia about this, mm-hmm. and there was no mention of that. This was actually critically acclaimed pretty much universally, according to this, and not one mention of that.
All right. That
it won an Eisner Award for Best Graphic Album. It was considered up until the late aughts as one of the best, if not the best, graphic novel ever written.
This is Killing Joke?
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair. And sometimes, I get things wrong.
No. I'm sorry. I'm not actually trying to prove you wrong.
No. I understand. And part of what I'm doing right now is remembering through historic lens,
right?
with current values and the political environment that we're in now.
That's and that's I think where the and maybe we'll close with this. I think that's the interesting thing. So just
Alan
like,
Moore has disowned this. He
but
has
Alan
said,
Moore disowns everything.
Okay,
I'm sorry, but that's not as powerful a statement as it would be for someone else.
Anyway, I'm making it. He has said in interviews since then that, this was really not good. And
he said the same thing for V for Vendetta, not the movie, the comic. He said, "I now know that England would never survive a nuclear war such as that, and I'm, I basically would never have written this now. So I'm sorry." Like he disavows every movie that's based on his property, which is fine because they're usually not great. But he disavows his own comics. I really like Alan Moore, but you have to take him with a fucking huge grain of salt because the guy is cuckoo apeshit bananas. As is often a creative. The interesting thing here to me is the political climate we live in.
Yes.
Now. And this
has been recognized as a common trope in comics going back to God knows how far.
So let's tie that and let's contrast it with the criticism that Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn is getting.
Mm-hmm.
About just being criticized for being in an abusive relationship in the movie.
Yes.
So
that's a whole other can of worms.
And I don't quite want to open it, but my point is we are too sensitive to the point where, and I'm not saying that there's a lot that needs to be fixed with the depiction of women and the empowerment of women in our media. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But what annoys me is there is taking a character who exists in spite of her flaws and is made more interesting because of them, and putting a female character in a position where she is taken advantage of and demoralized and victimized and made as a gender trope to be less powerful for the sake of selling a book or telling a story. Like, I do view those as two different things. I have not read The Killing Joke, and I haven't seen Suicide Squad, so I'm intellectualizing this purely from the outside.
Yeah.
But it annoys the shit out of me that it seems like the millennial generation as a whole is completely incapable, from what I can tell, of separating using racial epitaphs as a means of broadening a conversation versus being racist, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Gender empowerment versus a trope. Like, we need women to be flawed because they can then, in media, because then they can succeed in spite of their flaws. every fucking anti-hero and dark, you know, abused male hero of the last 30 years has had the same deal. You know, it's, I have this baggage, I've overcome it. We've had this conversation before, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Even in versus the female having PTSD.
I would say to this, is it not too much to ask that we have more of these female characters who aren't defined primarily by their relation to a male character, which I would say is true of
pretty
Harley Quinn.
That is true.
To a large extent, Jessica Jones.
Yeah, I know. I think we still disagree a little bit on it, but the show did end up going the way you were predicting.
Yeah.
So.
And I think that's still something that needs to be worked on.
And I agree with that. There is a point where, and I really wanted to say that the new character from Rogue One looks like she's going to pull that off, but she can't because it's still about a relationship to her father. So of course she has a bad relationship with daddy. She has abandonment issues, which is I guess not
I think that's a good step. That's more universal.
So she is a damaged character who's really good at what she does. She's badass. She is not physically imposing. She talked a lot about this in an interview. She's like, I am a small, petite person. I think it's more shocking when I, you know, backhand a stormtrooper with a gun. Like, which is a great scene in the sizzle reel. She just, bam, like, doesn't even fucking bat an eye. Just takes a dude out through his helmet. I mean, it's like, no, just you're done. And I think that's awesome, and I want to see more of that. And that was my thing about Rey versus Leia. Leia, we talked about this a couple of podcasts ago. Leia does have some badassness to her, but she has to do it in ceremonial garb. And then they repeated this with Padme.
Yeah, but she's, okay. But with Leia, at least you've got somebody who is far more independent, who has her own agenda, doesn't really give a shit about the guys who are trying to save her until later. When they come in and save her, she's like, she starts giving orders.
In a weird ceremonial.
She's got that look, but underneath that, she's a very take-charge person. She's not defined in relationship to, you know, like the husband she's got back home, which she doesn't, obviously.
Or, right.
She's very much her own person.
But then Metal Bikini.
Okay. I was just sticking with the first movie.
I know. Also, they taped her, you know, I actually give them credit. They taped her breasts down under the costume because they didn't want her femininity distracting. She said that in an interview in the original movie, like in the original VHS tape. I remember her saying that. But at the same time, why dress her like that? It's difficult.
There was a black and white theme going on.
Yeah, that's true. It's difficult to break past this. I want to see it more. But in that regards, Rey is actually a really great example.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, she's badass. She's pretty.
She's much better at everything.
She's
than
a little
her
too
male
good
companion.
At everything, but you don't fault a guy for that. You fault the woman for that because it's more noticeable that it doesn't make sense. When guys do that, it's like, well, I mean, it's exactly because the movie is just rehashing the original movie.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really ever stop. Well, why is Luke so good at everything? Because he's kind of a whiny little punk.
No, I have to. One last disagreement
here. All right.
Because Luke definitely goes through his I'm shitty at this and I need to get better phase, which Rey totally does not.
What training montage are you referring to? Because I don't remember.
The thing when he's training with the little floaty droid that keeps zapping him.
He trains once.
Come on, but at least you have that. You have that moment of, oh, God, this is hard. Why do I suck at this?
What can I
and
tell
Ben
you?
And Ben is still like, you just use the Force.
Mm-hmm.
And he needed, you need that moment. You need that time to say, yeah, he's got the talent, but it needs work.
Right. And nowhere.
And as brief as that might have been,
nowhere
it was
in the
there.
Movies does he ever get the training he really needs. He gets one day with Yoda, as far as I can tell, with him just making him do somersaults on his back. Going back to those movies, that make a lot of sense. Well, can I be ridiculous now and
sure.
make the... Well, in the prequel book, Smike, of Force Awakens, you would know that Rey came across a flight simulator for cargo ships of different sizes, and she mastered it for years in her downed AT-AT, and that is why she's so good at flying.
Yeah, not in the movie. Didn't happen.
Yeah, I'm saying it with that stupid voice because it's stupid. We have a long way to go, but I'm sorry. Beating up on Harley Quinn for the defining aspect of her character, I think is silly. Dinging a story from the 80s in which a character is victimized multiple ways over, maybe that's a little more fair.
Okay, to real quick to tag it on that.
Okay, do it.
And where that comes in now is, like I said, they just released an animated version of that for the first time a month or so ago. They said, hey, let's try to make Barbara's character more interesting and fleshed out.
Okay.
And they did, by many accounts, a terrible job of it by showing her running out, you know, working on some mission with Batman, in which she screws up. Batman says, you screwed up. You need to, you know, not be doing this. She gets angry. They get into a fight. He kind of lets her kick him a couple times. She manages to do a judo throw on him, gets him down on the ground, she's on top of him, and then they have sex. I'm not making it up. That's
wow. Yep.
And then after that, they go back and do the whole shooting and implied raping. So it's not like, really the best way to have done that.
It sounds like the people who are at the helm of this weren't really with it.
Weren't really
pushing the gender normative.
Had not discussed this with any woman.
I'm laughing because that's really sad. Well, yeah, I didn't really have an urge to see Killing Joke before, and now I really don't.
But we haven't seen it, so it might be wonderful.
I doubt it.
Buddies in Space is a member of the Stolen Dress Entertainment Podcast Network. What is that? Did we ever get into where that comes from? Stolen Dress?
No.
I'm curious.
Could ask Jason.
Yeah, we should find out about that.
Yeah.
Visit stolendress.com to check out other Stolen Dress podcasts, blogs, tweets, videos, and books, and
50 million vlogcasts in a massive long form.
Yes.
Looking forward.
All starting to come together now?
Yes. I did a really expensive, very not great experiment with my last one, my latest one, which isn't out yet.
What's your guy's name again?
Clint Westfall. Broda.
Broda.
Yeah, I spent about $15 on my beer and soda.
Ooh.
And it's...
It was awful?
Not awful. It's actually better than the beer itself. The beer was pretty rough.
You got an expensive but terrible beer.
Yeah.
Was it an IPA?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it was Southern Tier. I went like crazy, like, because thematically it was supposed to be drinking something better. But Jason always expected me to fake it when he wrote this. Like, nope.
No, not you.
But yeah. It's been fun. I'm getting close to the end. I don't know. It's a couple more episodes. I mean, it's once a month.
But things are happening. He's getting into his run for the presidency, I guess.
Well, Jason's hit some bumps.
Uh-oh.
He's his own worst. I mean, the joke's always been he's his own worst enemy.
That's sad. We could really use him this year.
I think he would actually be worse than... No, I take that back. He'd be the Gary Johnson. Not the Jill Stein, though.
Oh.
Friends don't let friends vote for Jill Stein.
No.
It's like the best headline I've seen about her. Well, we are buddies in space. You are.
S. Michael Smith. You are.
M. Michael Carassi. We're giant nerds or geeks, depending on what coast you're on.
Yeah. Or both. Why just one?
When you get into, like, modding and building computers, I do think that's nerd territory.
There we go.
That's, I don't know, it's nerds and computers. Do you have that mental, like, connection in your head? It's from the 80s. Because that's when, like, computer nerds were a thing.
When you can log into newegg.com and look at your purchase history going back 6 or 7 years, I think that's nerd territory.
Nerd.